We have two scripture readings this morning. We are continuing to read through Luke's gospel, and Jim will be reading to us from the beginning of the 11th chapter of Luke's gospel. This is Jesus offering some teaching about prayer. But first, I'm going to read to you from Psalm 85, and this is a psalm that begins in a place when the writer of the psalm is not sure that God is still with him or her or with God's people. But as many of the psalms do, this psalm takes a turn, and by the end of it, the psalmist is saying, God is indeed here with me. As we get ready to read and hear God's word together, will you join me first in a moment of prayer? God, we thank you this day for your steadfast love and your continuing presence with us. We have felt that presence already in worship, but we ask that especially in these next moments, as we turn to your word, that you would make your presence known to us and that you would speak to us. God, speak to each one of us this day words that we need to hear from you. And let us each find some kernel of wisdom in your word today that we can carry with us in the week ahead. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friends, hear these words. Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and will make a path for his steps. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the good news from Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord.
If you want to learn to do something, go to an expert. The disciples, as you know, if you've ever read through the Gospels, at times could be pretty clueless. That always makes me feel good, because there are times we all can be that way. But in this particular moment in Luke's Gospel, the disciples are quite wise. They want to learn to pray, and so they go to the obvious expert, to Jesus. Jesus, who we're told, as we are in this today's passage, often went off to pray. They had seen Jesus go off and pray. Plus, Jesus is the Son of God. So who better to learn about prayer from? So they say to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus offers them some lessons in prayer, and really answering two particular questions: how to pray and why to pray. First, he offers a model to them. When you pray, say something like this. And we all recognize the prayer. Luke gives an abbreviated version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. But we recognize these pieces. And each of them tells us something about how to pray, what we should include in our prayers. So Jesus begins, "When you pray, say, Father." Right away, this is pretty interesting. We know that God is Jesus' Father. Jesus is the Son of God. But Jesus says to each of us, when you pray, don't pray to some big divine other thing. You know, oh, great mysterious power of the universe. Say, Father. Abba. The word really means daddy or papa. It's a very personal address. When you pray to God, begin by knowing you have a relationship with God. Father, hallowed be thy name, but also recognize that God is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And of course, we're used to adding, thy will be done. But what this means is recognize that God is the one in control. We're lifting up our prayers to God, and in doing so, we're saying, God, answer them in the way you know best to answer them. It's out of our control, it's in yours. Give us each day our daily bread. When you pray, ask for things from God. Don't be afraid to ask, and ask for what you need. Give us each day our daily bread. And also recognize how sinful you are when you pray. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive those indebted to us. Of course, we're used to saying, forgive us our sins or debts or trespasses as we forgive. And that's implied in this four. But the idea is recognize, confess your sins, and as well, ask God to help you in the forgiving of others. Mindful that Jesus, in another place, says, the measure that you measure out to others is how you yourself will be judged. If that doesn't make you pause and want to forgive, I don't know what will. So forgive us our sins. Confess. And then, finally, in this version, lead us not into the time of trial, which, notice, recognizes two things. There will be times of trial and suffering and temptation in this life, but we pray that God will not lead us into them. God may have our back in those times of trial and temptation, but we pray, it's really a prayer of hope, lead us not into these times of suffering and trial, but when we're there, be with us. So all of that, in this very short sentences, Jesus has said, when you pray, make sure you do it in a personal way with God. Recognize that God is to be praised. Be thankful. Know that God is in control. Confess your sins. Ask for what you need and have hope. All of that in this tiny little prayer. Now, I don't think it's any accident either that Jesus prays a short prayer. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says about prayer this: when you pray, don't be like the pagans or like the Pharisees who use a lot of flowery language and go on and on and on and like to make their prayers lengthy because their prayers are all about, look at me, I'm praying. When you pray, be brief. Now, this is not for God's benefit. God has all the time in the world to listen to your prayers. It's for our benefit. Have you ever been somewhere where someone was praying? It was probably a pastor, unfortunately, and just went on and on and on and on and on. And after a while, you're thinking, I can't even remember what we're praying for anymore. It's for our benefit. Keep your prayers short. Keep them short and heartfelt. Pray from the heart. You don't need a lot of flowery language, you know, oh, great Jesus, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just pray what's on your mind and on your heart. Also, Jesus then says, be persistent in your prayer. That's why he tells this parable. A guy goes to his friend's house. It's late at night. He knocks on the door and says, hey, I need to borrow some bread. His friend says, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not getting up to give you bread. And the guy keeps knocking and asking, give me bread. I need some bread. And finally, Jesus says, you know, not out of even friendship, this guy is going to get up and give him bread just because he's so annoyed and wants him to go away. Now, that's not how God feels about us, by the way. But the idea is, out of pure persistence, this guy's going to get what he's asking for. A few chapters later in Luke's gospel, Jesus is going to tell a story about a persistent widow and an unjust judge. A judge who doesn't care a thing about justice, but because this widow keeps asking for justice again and again, he'll give it. So more than once, Jesus tells us, be persistent in your prayer. Pray without ceasing. Keep praying. If you've been praying to God for a certain thing for 20 years, don't give up. Keep praying. This word here, persistent, though, can also be translated shameless. Be bold and shameless in your prayers. Notice, there's no pleas in the Lord's Prayer. There's no, oh, pretty please, God, all this. It comes right out. Give me this. Give me my daily bread. Forgive me my sins. Be bold. God can take it. Ask from the heart and be bold and persistent. The reason we can be bold and persistent is the why. We pray because God is good. That's what the psalm tells us. You notice the number of times in the psalm that God is described with words like this: steadfast love, faithfulness, righteousness, salvation, peace. All of these are God's attributes. God is steadfast and forgiving and faithful and righteous and will give salvation. And as the psalm concludes, the Lord will give what is good. Will. If you know your book of order in the Presbyterian Church, you know that will means it'll happen. The polity gods say, you will do this. Will. Well, it's the same here. God will give what is good, no doubt. That's why we pray. That's what Jesus means in this rather bizarre end of the passage when he says,
You know, even you all who are imperfect, evil human beings, even bad people know that if a child asks for a fish, you don't give them a snake. And if your child asks for an egg, you don't give them a scorpion. Imagine a parent gets up in the morning and says, "What do you want for breakfast, honey?" "Oh, I'd like some eggs." "Okay, here's some scorpions." I mean, even we know that would be, I mean, Daryl over at Social Services would be getting a call, I think. Even we know better than that. God is even so much infinitely better and good than any of us. I mean, this is why we don't pray to the government, for example. As wonderful as the government can be, as wonderful as some of the things it does, we all know government is not perfect, to put it mildly. And not entirely good, because there's a bunch of awful human beings just like us running the government and involved. So we don't pray to the government. We don't pray to human beings. We pray to God, the one perfect, good being. So Jesus teaches, here's how to pray. Here's why you pray. And maybe I should point out, there is no wrong way to pray. Well, there's only one wrong way to pray. And that is not to pray. And maybe there's a third question that Jesus is answering most importantly in this passage, which is, as I've mentioned, who we are to pray to. God, who's good and faithful and just. And what's interesting about prayer, I think, I mentioned Jesus is an expert, but Jesus is the only expert when it comes to prayer. When it comes to prayer, each one of us is like Charlotte, just beginning. Prayer is one of those things that you can learn in a moment, but it takes a lifetime to master. So, maybe the greatest lesson from today's reading is this: when it comes to prayer, keep practicing. Amen.